5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will. Your egg is just quitting balls of fire. I let that love all I thought it was funny. You came along and you blew me, honey. I changed my mind, but it's fine. Goodness gracious, just quitting balls of fire.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening. It is the new Panic Room, episode 249, he said, reading off the screen. And it is the 7th of October. Can you believe that already? Soon be Christmas, so Merry Christmas one and all in advance. And Happy Easter for next year while I'm at it. Tuesday. It's Thursday again. They keep coming round. I don't know why, but it is a good excuse. A good excuse for me to catch up with my old mate, Mucker X Steiner. Thanks. Yeehaw and yibbity-doo. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, you said that it's going to be Christmas before we know it, and I can't believe it's already, you know, we're already into October. And
I know. How did that happen?
I
know it's your favorite month of all time, but I'm not sure.
And I have all my Halloween stuff out, and I'm all excited.
Had your Halloween stuff out about the middle of September. I saw the pictures.
It's true. But I'm so excited, and I can't stop myself. Whenever I go to the store, I see the decorations, and I'm just flaunts them. And so it's bad. I mean, it really is. I have like an addiction. I'm going to need an extra, I don't know, shed or something to put all my stuff in because I can't stop. So, but it's so much fun. It is. I love the decor. And, of course, the next door neighbor or the across the street neighbor will get something new. And then I'm like, is she trying to outdo me? I have to go buy something now just to put out. So that she doesn't outdo me. So it's a sickness.
Dear.
It is. I know. And the boyfriend just puts up with it. He just, you know, I'll see
Bless
something
him.
And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. Look at it. And it's only, you know, however much it is. And he'll say, well, you have to have it. So, you know, he feeds into it.
Yeah, well, I know. There's people buying all this. It's like, I mean, we have Halloween. We tend to put ours up sort of like the week before. There's people buying pumpkins.
Oh.
I mean, surely they'll have gone off by Halloween.
Yeah.
Who buys pumpkins? Seriously,
pumpkins.
Why? What do you do with them now? I mean, how do you keep them for 4 weeks? How does that work?
I don't really know. We've never really done the real pumpkin thing. Isn't that? That's awful, but... I don't really know what you do with them.
Well, that's
so
what we do.
Yeah.
Every year we buy and we carve pumpkins and put little candles in them and put
mm-hmm.
them on the doorstep. I mean, this year we've obviously got our new house to go at, and I think I've got all these little gravestones, little headstones that we've put out. I make like a little graveyard, so it's going to look great. But But anyhow, a couple of things, on the news. Two phenomenal new books out. We have Cinema 7 by Michael J. Moore, which I'm just looking at a picture of. I think you've got your copy. Looking at
yes,
a picture of the what a cover. I mean, what a great book, I have
it.
To say. We've actually just entered it for jury consideration for a Bram Stoker Award for next year, which
nice.
Is great. So well done to Michael. But again, well done to Kevin Hart, who did the cover. Is just, look at it now, it's just terrifying. It's funny, Michael said when he sent the brief for the cover, I want this one to be terrifying. And it does, it creeps me the fuck out. Got a little girl covered in blood, holding a teddy bear outside a disused cinema, and she just looks evil. I mean, it's just brilliant. And the other one we have... actually just published just this past day or two, The Lost Journal of Bram Stoker in association with the Bram Stoker Estate. It's our first book from in collaboration with them, and it's fascinating stuff. It's an insight into the mind of the great man himself, you know. It's good, you know, in many ways. He was just a regular bloke, you know, good old Victorian, roister-doister, sort of heavy-drinking, partying sort of bloke, which was great. But and there's flashes of, you can see, you know, maybe this came from there, that from there, you know, but it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's interested in Dracula, Bram Stoker, even history. I didn't realize he died just a couple of days after the Titanic sank. So maybe there's a link there. Maybe he's, you know, conspiracy theorists would have a field day with that. But perhaps most interesting of all, rather bizarrely, and you've been part of this, I updated my profile picture on Facebook, and not through vanity. It's just my beard seems to be permanent. My daughter said I have to keep it because it makes me look intelligent. So I must have looked stupid before, apparently. And the outpouring, the amount of virtual panty throwing has been unbelievable. Seriously, it's like,
how do you like it?
It looks, It's great. It looks a lot like me, you know, but without before I had the beard, but with one. And it's like, but and again, credit to my photographer, my pro photographer who does all my headshots and stuff, Cinnamon, who does a cracking job of making a silk purse out of a pig's ear, pretty much.
It looks good. It does, yeah. And I saw your cover photo or cover picture thing was changed to Tenebrian, which is an amazing book and very creepy.
Yes, well, it was the old
cover.
I thought, well, while I'm changing my profile picture, I may as well change that as well. And it looks good.
Definitely.
Kevin Hart, again, you know, he's very much one of our go-to guys. And I did send Luke Spooner over in England a picture of my new tattoo. Because he designed that. He actually designed that for our company logo. People look at us, that's our company logo. I mean, it's a great conversation starter. You know, it's great.
Definitely.
To what do you do? And then I tell them, check out the website and all the rest of it. So, you know, I'm going to try, if I can, and offset the cost of the tattoo against tax.
Wow, there you go.
See if I can write it off against tax as marketing.
I definitely like it, yeah.
Certainly worth a go.
Speaking of the spooky season, you know, I think everybody in the house right now is reading Stephen King. I finished Joyland about a week ago, and now I'm on The Institute.
Is that good? Is that good?
What, The Institute? Is that the one you're asking about?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Stephen King. I mean, does he write a bad book, really? No, it's good. It's good. I don't exactly know what's going to happen or anything, but I'm about, I don't know, 50, 60 pages in, and I'm enjoying it. So,
brilliant.
Yeah, my son is reading Salem's Lot. He, I keep seeing him. You know, I'm trying to get my shelf going. I have three whole shelves on this bookcase that are just Stephen King right now, and I'll see him go over to it and, like, you know, he'll stand in front of it and look at my books, and there's a part of me that's like, don't touch my books, but then there's the other part that's like, I want him to read Stephen King, so he picked one up,
and
now he's reading him, so yeah. And I'm trying to think of what Christian's reading, because he's reading Stephen King too. Let me think, what is it? It's an older one. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. He'll probably tell me, and then I'll shout it out at some kind of random time during the show.
Could you do that? That would be great. We've all forgotten what we're talking about.
Just shout it out. It'll be great. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, fire starter. Yeah, I haven't read it. Stephen King. I think the last one I read was, I think it was Hearts in Atlantis. I think because you said I had to read it, and it was brilliant.
It was
one of his older ones,
but it was
brilliant. Really enjoyed
it. Yeah.
Joyland as well was very good. Nobody writes coming of age better than Stephen King for me.
Yes,
brilliant.
Yeah, I think part of me likes the ones that aren't horror-ish. A little bit more. I don't know. They just have so much heart in them. You know, they really do. And that was definitely one. I put that one down, and I didn't want it to end yet. You know, I wanted it to keep going. So that's definitely... Oh, Dead Zone. There we go. Dead Zone.
Brilliant book. Brilliant book. Yeah, one of my favorites. That one is... That's one you just can't put down. You cannot put it down. It is phenomenal. Yeah. Billy Summers? Trying to catch somebody who's read that and see what that's like. Because apparently that's not a horror book, apparently.
Right, that's what I've heard. Yeah, I have it too. I haven't, so you go over to the shelf and you look at all the ones that you haven't read, and then you just pick one out. And the Institute called to me last time, so we'll see what happens.
I've heard that's good. To be fair, I've heard sort of mixed... mixed reviews. It's like anything. King can be it can be very polarizing, you know. People, But I like you say, I sit and read anything. I just like his style. I like his characters and his backstories. And all these people say, it's filler and he's rambling. That's the best bit.
It really is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely is for me as well. And You're like, I don't even care what's going on in the story anymore. Just keep rambling. Just keep talking, and I'll listen.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's great. And, like, people always talk about insomnia. That's one that people really, when I read the reviews, it was, like, awful. And people are like, oh, my God, it put me to sleep. And I loved it. I remember reading it. Of course, it was years ago. But I loved it. I did. So, yeah, it was another one that I saw recently that I had to get on myself. So, yeah.
I read that a long, long time ago. I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I did. It was good. It was good. Not one of his stronger ones, but I don't think you're going to be, you know, Salem's Lot and, like you say, Dead Zone. Christine was just unputdownable. I mean, Firestar, I enjoyed Firestar.
Yeah.
A lot of his early stuff, you know, his, his early collections as well, you know, Night Shift and the others. All brilliant. I did a few that were really, and my first introduction to King was Night Shift, because I got the short story collection. You know, brilliant. Some great little stories in there. And some of which they're still making into movies now. They're still plundering the back catalogue to make movies. So,
I know.
All good
There's
stuff.
So much good things. Go ahead.
So I was going to say, I know we rambled on last week, but I'm assuming we've got some sort of show going on tonight. I'm guessing. I have no idea.
We do. And get ready to push the button, because I'm only going to say it once, because you always make me say it twice for some reason.
I do, because I'm cruel like that.
I think so sometimes. Yes, I'm very excited. We only have one guest tonight because, you know, we're going to go big tonight, you know. So we have Bram Stoker Award nominee, Bev Vincent. Woo!
Hello!
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Ben?
I'm doing just great, thanks. How are you guys doing?
Well, you know, we're good. Sadly, this is the highlight of our week. This is as good as life gets for Xtina and I. This is it. So thank you for joining us in the pinnacle of our 7-day event. So.
my pleasure. I was waiting for the theme music, like Deliverance, to play me in something, you know. Tubular Bells or something, you know.
Oh,
and
yes.
I think Ben was calling from Texas as well, James. I think you guys could be neighbors.
Oh,
right?
Yes, sure.
I'm up in the woodlands. Yep.
Oh, see, no. Seriously, you could have come down. I'm in Spring. I'm about 20 minutes from you, so you could have popped. Down. We could have had a beer or two, and in Texas speak, we're practically next door neighbours. So howdy.
Howdy.
Yeah, howdy. I was up at the Woodlands Mall with my daughter on Sunday. So it is the great comic Stephen Wright always used to say, it's a small world, but I wouldn't want to paint it.
You know, I was watching Friends earlier, and they said that line, it's a small world, and Chandler's like, yet I never ran into Beyonce. And you know, that's right. Yeah, no one's ever here in Tennessee. There's so many of the authors that we speak to that are out in Texas, and I'm like, I feel lonely here in Tennessee. I never get to say, hey, you're close to me. No, nobody ever is. None of them. Man.
That says a lot. That says probably more about Tennessee than authors, to be honest with you.
I'm scratching my head. I can't think of anybody from Tennessee. Yeah.
I know.
Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton, I think she's from there. I mean, she's, that's it, pretty much. But, I can't think of her either.
Well, you're missing out then. There's that. Well, Beth, you're here to talk to us about your novella, The Dead of Winter. It's in a two-novella collection. Tell us about it.
Okay. So Brian Keene and I have been friends for a long time, and we'd meet up at conferences over the years, and we talked about music. and we discovered that we share a lot of common interests in music, but we've got some divergent interests too. And so we talked about the sorts of things we like to listen to when we're writing. And so we came up with this idea that we would each create a playlist, a CD's worth of music for the other person to listen to, and we would each write a novella. And so we put on our thinking hats and we sat down and we sent about 17 or 18 songs to each other. And the thing was, you just listen to this one CD when you're writing this novella. And so Brian sent me some interesting music, some of which I had heard a little bit of before, but a lot of it I hadn't. And I tried to come up with some interesting things that I knew would maybe spark some creative germs in him. And so he wrote a story called The Motel at the End of the World, and I wrote one that's called The Dead of Winter. And it's set in Rhode Island in the middle of the winter, and it's about two brothers, and it's a little bit of a twist on The Prodigal Son. In my story, the good son was the one who went away, actually went to Houston, and became a Houston detective, a police, you know, a homicide detective. And the other son stayed at home and didn't make much of himself. But there's a series of mysterious crimes that happen in their hometown, and so the older brother comes back to try to help the investigation, and they start digging around and find that there's something really weird going on in this town, something really creepy.
I love the idea of the mixtape. Now, do you did you include the playlist in the book?
We did, yeah. There's a section up the front where we go through song by song, and I explain why I picked those songs, and then Brian responds to his reaction to them, and then we flip the tape over, and he does the same thing in reverse. And we created a Spotify playlist, so if you actually want to listen to the music while you're reading the novellas, that's available too.
That's a cool idea.
That's a great idea, yeah. Yeah.
I think James and I have both talked before about how you can insert a song or something into writing, and it just puts you like there, there. And it's I really love that idea. So when you are making out the signed copy, it's XTINA.
Oh, you know, she's shameless every week. I'm saying, to be fair, last week it was just XTINA and I on the show. I'm surprised she didn't try to blag free copies of books, free signed books out of me. Although, to be fair, I sent her a signed copy of Peed many, many, many years ago. Still hasn't read it.
I have all of your books.
You never know what's going to happen to them,
Right. I think I have all of your books signed, James. That's not the only one. So. But yeah, but they do have new copies now. I mean, new covers. I think, I need the new cover now. So
do you now?
Christmas is coming up, and and you already know how to spell my name. It's great. That's a great idea. I love music. I do. I'm all the time. And that's what I was wondering too. With your two playlists, did any song cross over? Like, was there a song that you both had on your list, or no?
But not only was there not a song, I don't think there was a musician.
Wow.
Yeah, Brian's music is a little bit different from what I normally listen to. He did a lot of things like Ice-T and Waylon Jennings and Marilyn Manson and Nine Inch Nails. I was more into things like Supertramp and Mike Oldfield and Jean-Michel Jarre. Mine tended towards instrumental, although there was a mix. Originally, we thought we would do an anthology where each story would be inspired by a song. But over the years, our idea evolved, and we got the novella idea.
It's a good one. I really like it. I want to hear more. I think we have a clip to play. Do we, James?
I don't know. Do we? Do we?
You should have one.
Is this the clip by any chance that you texted me about like an hour before the show and said, oh, by the way, there's a clip?
I think that one. I think that is the one.
Could it be that one?
Yeah. Good
job, I'm on the ball. So, Bev, do you need to set the clip up, or do we just go straight into it?
This is fairly early in the story when the two brothers have gone to do a little bit of investigating. There's a blizzard happening, and they're starting to figure out a little bit maybe of what's going on.
Okay, I shall press the button now.
They bundled up to face the storm and headed out to Donna's apartment, 3 blocks away. Feels weird going through someone else's stuff, Joey said. You get used to it, Frank said. They were in Donna's kitchen, examining a stack of papers in a basket on her countertop. Mrs. Conrad must have been picking up her mail because the box in the lobby was empty, except for a grocery store flyer containing this week's specials. What are we looking for, exactly? Frank shrugged. You never know. You just poke around. Let the place speak to you. If something is odd, it'll stand out. Last time I was here, everything was in boxes, Joey said. Don't you think this whole situation is strange? What kind of person disappears 3 seemingly random people, then waits a year and does it all over again? That's what you're thinking, right? Someone else is going to vanish? Maybe, Frank said. Probably. That's messed up. There's always a reason, but it often isn't one an ordinary person can identify with. You know those nut jobs who'll latch onto one thing, a single word in the president's speech, for example, and spin an entire wacky conspiracy out of it? I guess. Same thing. We had a guy who left his victim's bodies scattered all over the city. One of our techs figured out he was making a picture. When you connected the dots on the map the right way, you got a picture. Of what? The constellation Hydra. He saw Joey's reaction. Didn't make any sense to us either, but it made sense to him. That's what's important. You're the expert. I've only had a couple of cases. Serial killers are actually pretty rare. Lucky us. If that's what we have, there's no proof. All we have are 5 unrelated incidents. And a pattern? Maybe, Frank said, sounding less sure than before. I'm going to check the bedroom. You want to take the bathroom? Joey shook his head and picked up the keys. I think I'll take a look at her storage locker in the basement. Okay. Donna's apartment building was a couple of steps up from a dive, but it had the benefit of strong security doors out front, an important consideration for a battered woman. No elevator, though, so Joey had to tromp down the 3 flights of stairs he'd carried furniture and boxes up when she'd moved in last fall. He'd been high as a kite that day, he remembered. Donna had kept doing things to make him giggle. It hadn't taken much, and it had removed some of her tension, he thought. This had been more than a move. It had been an escape, a new beginning. He'd offered her a hit off his joint, but she'd declined. That stuff always makes me sad, she'd said. He'd been self-conscious, helping her assemble her bed, but nothing had happened there, either. The basement was dark and dingy, illuminated by flickering fluorescence. It was cold, too. He'd never been down here. When Donna moved in, all of her stuff went into her apartment. She'd said she would take care of storage once she went through everything. Joey still didn't know what he was looking for, but he knew one thing for certain. The place gave him the creeps. Not only was it cold, it smelled odd. Not the mildewy, stagnant odor one might expect of a dank cellar. It smelled electric, as if a transformer was running hot or lightning had recently struck. Donna's storage area was more of a cage than a locker. It was made of wire mesh, so anyone could see into it. Her bicycle was hanging by its front wheel from a hook in the ceiling, and a couple of steamer trunks were stacked in one corner, surrounded by a bunch of cardboard boxes. There were wooden pallets on the floor to keep her belongings from getting wet. He opened the padlock, went in, and poked around, but didn't find anything suspicious or helpful. The trunks weren't locked, and he opened them with trepidation, half expecting to find Donna's body, or worse, body parts within, but they contained only clothing. He locked the storage unit and spent the next few minutes staring into the adjacent lockers. He continued toward the back corner of the basement, which was dark and poorly lit. He used the flashlight on his cell phone to explore. When the beam glanced across the rear wall, he gasped. There was a jagged hole through the cement that opened into a long, dark tunnel like a mine shaft. Cold air emanated from it. Bitterly cold air. Disturbingly cold. He was about to step into the tunnel when he noticed something that freaked him out. The entrance shimmered as if there was a force field across the opening. That's what I smelled, he told himself. Time to call in reinforcements. He found Frank's number in his recent history and pushed the call button. Find something? Maybe. You'd better get down here. And bring a flashlight if you can find one.
Was that it?
The end.
Oh!
I
was enjoying that! Every time.
It's way too short. It's always way too short, and we're like, keep going, keep going, and they just stop right there.
I know, it's always the best bit. It's always, you know, we get a bit of a steamy bit as well. It's always getting to the best steamy bit. And, oh, you know, it's all, we stopped there because it was getting a bit steep. Well, no, you know. But no, that was great. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, thank you.
And on that note, we have to take a quick break, and don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
That means that Eggstein needs to go and open another box of wine. So we will be right back.
The Panic Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Don't wish it away, don't look at it like it's forever. Between you and me, I could honestly say that things can only get better.
to part two.
Well, we're back.
Yay.
Hello, everyone. Hi, Bev. You're still there. You're still with us.
I'm still there. Good song.
Good.
Elton John song on the thing I gave to Brian, too.
Oh, brilliant. Which one?
Nice.
Called Wicked Dreams from the Big Picture album.
Oh, wow. Cool. I saw Elton John quite a few years, probably about 6 years ago now. He came to Houston. He's so small. He's so little, but he was brilliant. I put on a great show. Great guy.
I saw him at Wembley.
Big fan. Oh, wow.
I saw him at Wembley in 1984.
Good Lord. Good for you. Yeah. I saw the Rolling Stones at Wembley, again, probably about 20 years ago now. they were in the 70s then, so, you know, it, yeah, all good stuff. But I know it's a question actually been asked a lot. Do you actually listen to music as you're writing? I can't do it. I just get distracted.
I do. When I'm writing first drafts, I can have music on, and what I find is that I often, like an hour will have passed, and I'll not really have heard anything. There in the background. For me, I find it creates a constant background, so I don't hear things like the guy mowing the lawn outside or the dog across the fence barking. It just gives me a good baseline. But if I'm editing or revising, I can't. I have to have pretty quiet when I'm doing that.
Yeah,
no, I understand that, yeah.
Well, we have not done this for a couple of weeks, probably even longer, but I'm excited to do it. So, Bev, would you do 11 questions with me?
Sure, absolutely. I only know what one of the questions is, so this is going to be a complete surprise.
I hope you prepared your answer for that one as well. So,
That one I've got.
Brilliant. Okay, here we go.
And now... 11 questions.
All right. Number one is, what's your guilty pleasure?
Survivor, the TV show.
Oh, that's nice. Nice. You know, James, I have been trying that wife swap thing, and there's so much drama in it. It's, I don't know.
I love it.
Going.
I love it.
So, oh, God. Okay. Number two, the mountains or the ocean?
Oh, the ocean, definitely.
Mm. If I had a buzzer, the mountains are beautiful.
Hang on. There you go, wrong answer.
Yes.
Wrong answer.
Here's a good one. What's your favorite lunch meat?
I'm pretty boring on that one. I think I was just going to say ham.
You know, that's not terrible. We judge you more harshly if you say turkey. Turkey gets a buzz there.
Yes, it does. Turkey, yeah. And you would never be asked back on the show again, ever.
And I love to follow that one up with, if it were legal to do so, would you eat human flesh?
Not if there was anything else on offer.
Good answer. James is like, sure, give me some Worcestershire sauce.
Absolutely, yes.
I wouldn't know whether to use ketchup or mustard, so that would be the dilemma.
It's true. Number five, what's your favorite dinosaur?
Stegosaurus.
Yeah.
You know, he is the
good
best
answer.
One. Yes, that is a good one. let's see, roller coasters, yay or nay?
No way. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. I value my life too much.
I used to be so excited, and now they would terrify me. I don't think you could get me on one anymore, which is a shame because they are so much fun.
Yeah, my wife loves them, and I just don't get the attraction at all.
Which franchise do you prefer, Halloween, Friday the 13th, Elm Street, Hellraiser, or Saw?
Halloween.
Yes. Now, do you like the Rob Zombie remakes, or are you strictly the originals?
Well, I'm an original, but I saw them when they first came out, so yeah.
I do like the original, but I have to say I do like the Rob Zombie remakes. I do. We had a past guest who violently hates them, so it was always fun to pick on him about that. Yeah, he's like, they make me ill, and so that was kind of fun.
He wasn't a fan.
And what's your favorite Stephen King book?
Bag of Bones.
Oh,
no, I.
Do you know that is a good book?
That one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Often forgotten. It's not usually mentioned an awful lot, but yeah, that is a good one.
I loved it as well. You know, the boyfriend tried to listen to it on audiobook. He only does audiobooks and could not do it. He's like, the guy just moans about his dead wife, and that's all he got out of it. He never finished it, of course, but that's like the only thing he could remember. And I loved it. Yeah, I just absolutely loved it myself. And we have two copies in the house, so that's how much I like it.
Lisey's story. I like the comparison between Bag of Bones and Lisey's story, because one's about the writer who's lost his wife, and the other's about the wife who's lost her writer husband. So they look like bookends to me.
Yeah. Great one. Give me one interesting non-writing related fact about you.
I have a PhD in chemistry.
Oh, nice.
That is a good one. You know, so many times we get to that question and nobody knows what to say. So I like it when somebody has an answer. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. What is your least favorite part of the writing process?
Least favorite part, waiting for a response to a submission.
Ooh. That's a good one, I have to say. You know, the worst part for a publisher is having to send out rejections. I get butterflies. I don't know these people face to face. I don't know anything about them. Yet every single time I hit that button, I get butterflies. I don't even know what, but it makes me feel horrible. Horrible.
I think because we know as writers, we know what it's like to receive those.
Yes.
Even if it's, you know, if you tell yourself it's part of the process, part of the job, it's still crushing. When you get that through, and it's like, oh, you know, okay, you bounce back. But, yeah, even for just a few moments, it's crushing that somebody hated my story enough. Say again.
There are some that are particularly bad. There's some that you allow yourself to have really high hopes for. Those ones really just like a spear in the heart when they come in. Some of the other ones you think, yeah, okay, just brush it off and move on. But there's some...
You convince yourself that this is a shoe. They can't say no to this, and they do, and it is just. But it is, and it's, and I in some of the Facebook groups, you know, I've seen some sort of writers who they get a couple of rejections, and I'm packing in, I'm never going to write again, and I think.
Yes.
You know, it's a cliche. It goes with the territory, and you do. You have to be tough, and you have to learn from it. And you know, not everyone is constructive. A lot of time, it's just a form letter because publishers don't have time to personally answer everyone. But you know, you just brush yourself off, send it out again. Just keep sending the damn thing out and. Write another one, and you know, I think that's the difference. There's those that are still around and those that just stuck through it.
Well, I also want to say for people who are submitting short stories or whatever, make sure you follow the guidelines. And if the submission call is for, I don't know, monsters, make sure your story has a monster.
It's got a monster in it.
Because
it's funny, as far as rejections go, I'm cutting across you because, you know.
Go ahead.
As far as rejections, my favorite is people say, oh, you know, remember Stephen King got so many rejections, and J.K. Rowling and Tolkien, and all these people got rejected. One of my favorite things about rejection is many, many years ago, Roy Orbison took part in a Roy Orbison competition, and he came third in a Roy Orbison. And you know, just think about poor Roy coming third. I mean, you know, sorry, XD, do carry on.
Oh, you know, that I don't even know. I lost my train of thought from that. But I did want to say, when we're doing our questions here, we had our bonus question, which is one of my favorites here. So I'm going to go for it.
So I'm going to get ready. I'm getting ready to the buzzer now. Go on.
Baseball or stamp collections?
Baseball or stamp collections? You mean as a fan or a player?
Yeah. You know what? Whatever you want.
Okay. So when I was a kid, I played baseball very badly, but I have a massive stamp collection from when I was a kid, too. Baseball.
Oh!
Wrong answer. I had high hopes because I too have a phenomenal stamp collection, and baseball just bores me to tears, I'm afraid.
Ex Tina is a huge baseball fan, and I am very sad that my team did not make the playoffs. So that's they did awful this year, but you know. I love the Blue Jays, so when do they actually do amazing? It's been a while, so. But I'm still a huge Blue Jays fan.
I'm a Canadian, so the Blue Jays were my team, too. But
We used to play
baseball at there was a Reg conference called MECOM that we go to, and in the old days, we always used to play the writers against the non-writers. And the writers always did horribly.
Awesome.
But I bet you had a lot of fun, though. That's the that's it.
We had Richard Sisbar 1 year, and he upped our game a bit.
Oh man, I have to say we've had these questions around since we started the show, which we're on episode 200. What did you say, James? 49 or whatever it is.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
And it's called 11 Questions, and it took me a whole year before I realized there were only 10, and I have no idea where one went to. Yes. So the next year I made like 12 questions, and it's funny, the guest never ever says, hey, wait a minute. There's like, you know, so yeah, it's great though.
I did that when I wrote the originals. I did it deliberately to see how long it would take her, and it took years before she cottoned on. It's funny.
I think we should do a show one time, and we're going to call it 11 Questions, and I'm going to just keep asking questions until they're like, wait a minute, it's been like 25 questions.
Yeah.
Yes, like see if they say anything.
Yeah, we've been on an hour now.
It'll be so much fun, though. Oh, gosh, yes. No, I had so much fun, though. I really have. This is great. And every single time we do just an hour show, I always regret it, and I wish that we had, you know, planned more time for it. So you know what? This is the part of the show where I ask, what is everyone reading? I know James doesn't have a whole lot of time to read outside of work, but are you reading anything good right now, Bev?
Right now, I'm reading a book by Craig Johnson, who writes the Longmire Mysteries. And it's his new one called Daughter of the Morning Star, and it's about missing Aboriginal women on the reservations.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's when we go to the bookstore, me and my son, I head right for the horror aisle, and I'm looking for, you know, usually Stephen King because I'm trying to build up my collection, and he heads to the psychology aisle, and then he wants me to come, and he's only 17. He wants me to come here, Mom. You got to look at this. Come here, and you know, I do the horrible mom thing where I say I'll be right there, and I really have no intention of going there, but yeah, I love to hear the different things that people are reading because they're always so, you never know when someone else is going to decide, I should look that book up, you know. James, what about you?
I read a lot of crime fiction. There's a new one, Scott Carson, a new horror novel. So Scott Carson is the pen name of Michael Corita. And he writes his horror novels under this name Scott Carson. He had one a year or two ago called The Chill. But his new one is really interesting. It's about a haunted app, a cell phone app.
Oh, nice. Yeah, anything haunted would scare the crap out of me. But, yeah, wasn't there, like, a movie about a haunted something where they it would predict when you were going to die and then you really did or something, and no matter what,
yeah.
you couldn't get rid of the app? Yeah, yeah, that would
yeah.
totally scare me. So, not you know, I want my apps to be nice and friendly. I don't want any haunted It sounds good, though. And what are you up to right now? What are you working on yourself?
So I'm just about to turn in a manuscript tomorrow that I can't talk about. But I have two novels that I'm itching to get back to. One's a crime novel, and one's a novel about a horror writer who's going to attend a fan convention in his honor. At the place that was the inspiration for his first successful novel.
I like that. I like that.
It's set in
again,
Galveston.
When you said set in Galveston?
Set in Galveston.
Yeah. Awesome. Again, when you go to make out that signed copy, it's XTINA. I think we are just about out of time. So before we let you go, let us know where we can find you online.
I am just absolutely everywhere, but bevvincent.com. I'm on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And gosh, if you dig around, you might even find me on MySpace, if that's still around.
Oh,
I miss
wow.
MySpace. I sure miss
I've been
MySpace. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I had so much fun with you. You have to promise to come back.
Absolutely, anytime at all.
Awesome,
I can
that's
drop
fine.
Out in the spring and have a beer.
Yeah.
Seriously, you want to get together? I'll come and have a beer with you. Not a problem. That would be great fun.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Bev. We had a great time with you on the show, and I can't wait to have you back.
Okay, have a great rest of your evening, but it's obviously bedtime now, so...
It is. Way past my bedtime. I'm old.
I'm mine. I'm going to scuttle off to bed straight after this. So,
right.
Yeah, sleep well. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Night.
Well, do you know, time has beaten us yet again. Yet again, it always does.
Hey.
It always does. But and yeah, you were going to ask me what I was reading, and nothing.
Nothing
for fun. I haven't read for fun for a stupid amount of time, so I hope I will. I'm going to have to. I know. I miss it.
Yeah.
I miss it. But then again, I get to read. Yeah, I do moan, but I get to read, obviously, you know, submissions that we have coming in, and, you know, they're like Cinema 7, and I get to read some
mm-hmm.
phenomenal books. And I say
true.
It's not for,
yeah.
It's for work. But if I didn't, you know me, if I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't do it. So,
that's
you know, just
true.
To clear that up. But hopefully I'll get back to the fireman at some point and start it again and finish that. But anyway, yeah, it is, I'm afraid, it is time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight.